Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome back to Oversharing. My name is Ruth, and this is a podcast where I overshare every single bit about myself to you all strangers. Now, today is going to be episode 17. I have not been uploading ever since 2023 December, so it has almost been 7 months. 7 months and more since I last uploaded. And I'm really sorry to everyone that were... I guess I don't have a large audience, but I would say for anyone that has been listening to my podcast, thank you. Thank you for still supporting this podcast. I've just been in a hiatus for this past 7 months. I basically were in a cycle where I got off a lot of, I just start processing things within myself without really saying it much out loud. I think 1 year ago, I was a person where I learned to, you know, start learning how to, back in 2022, that's when I, after my first breakdown in life, a huge breakdown in life, I started to really reflect on my own feelings. And I created this podcast where I can actually share my feelings and talk about my feelings openly. Because vulnerability to me wasn't something very, very easy that comes out of me. It's something very secret of me. And it was a very hard journey for me to learn to be open and be vulnerable and to talk about feelings that is not something that is harsh to yourself. It's actually a way to express yourself and to be open-minded. To be able to talk through feelings is how I can process feelings better. And so today is actually an episode, since is actually I wanted to put this episode out in Pride, that was in June, but I recorded once and I didn't like that version a lot, and so I re-recorded a few times, and this is gonna be my attempt to actually publish this one. I want to be dedicating this episode mainly as a lesson or just message to people like my 16-year-old self that was struggling so much being themselves or trying so hard to navigate life in my late teenage years, trying to fit in, trying to find myself, position myself in the society. I am in my early 20s. I'm only 21 right now. I just, you know, I skipped making a podcast about my birthday, but I am currently 21 years old, and I have learned so much throughout this whole 7 months of just thinking about my own feelings, processing it, and learning a lot about myself. And I think there is a time where I believe everybody would go through a phase where you're like criticizing your own existence, or just questioning what path you're going to take, what things you're going to do in the future. When everybody is questioning you, what do you imagine yourself 5 years later? It is such a stressful question sometimes because you don't know what your future is. You have no clue, but everybody expects you to have an answer. I watched a reel recently. It's talking about the struggles of being a 20-year-old, a 20-something-year-old. People in your early 20s would allow you to have so much room to grow. But when you, within that 10 years, when you're in your late 20s, people would expect you to have figured your life out, to have figured most of the things that an adult need to, you know, the adult, adult life needs to be able to accomplish. Maybe it's in terms of financially stable, finding a stable career, having a family, or I don't know, like there's just so much social expectation towards people in their mid-20s to the late-20s. And this drastic change overwhelms a lot of people. Even though I'm just in my early 20s and I have not really experienced the pressure of people getting like all of my, or like all of my friends getting married, like all my friends are still in college or in university. We're living our life here. We're being young and dumb, and it seems okay, right? But like, I can imagine in just a few years when people start settling down, probably found something they are passionate about, and they become some sort of society, quote unquote, successful, and you start comparing yourself to others, like, and you start criticizing or overthinking if you are enough, if what you accomplished so far is considered successful, or if your life is the way that you imagine it to be. There is just so many variables to life that we can't guarantee our own future. We can't say 5 years later, I will have all this and I will have all that. I think it is great for people to have a certain expectation, or not expectation, or a dream or target to work for it, a goal in life that is motivating yourself to have hope in the future. Because I believe, like, hope is really a strong motivation for people to move forward in life, to have some sort of fire and light in life. I think without hope, a lot of people lose that motivation, and you might just be working a 9-to-5 job. Imagine you just working 9-to-5 every day and you have no passion in any other aspect in life. And every day you're just living in a place where you find there's not so much fulfillment in life. There is not so much excitement in life. And you lose that sense of why actually living a life is so worth living. I once questioned my life a lot at the point of an intersection where I have a problem, which was accepting myself for who I am. And I think a lot of the previous episode I've mentioned that I heavily struggled with my own sexual orientation and my own gender identity. If you are a new listener and you don't know anything about me, this is a short, brief summary. So I identify as a non-binary person, but I also went through testosterone, like hormone therapy. So that is why I sound way more, my voice is way deeper than my first few episodes. I've currently been on T for almost 1 year and 4 or 5 months. I lost track of time, probably 5 months by now. And all these changes made me so much more comfortable. And one thing about identity is, it actually, I think label is only for people to get to understand it easier. But personally, I really don't like labeling myself, no matter is my sexual orientation or gender identity. I really just want to be someone that is seen as a person instead of being labeled a certain category or a certain gender. And that's why I identify as non-binary. And I don't like the social construct. I think, and when you ask a lot of people that were in as a non-binary person, we really don't like to be put in a certain box to be doing this because you are more masculine or because you're more feminine. Often, I think coming into terms of accepting myself would be the hardest thing growing up. And I don't want to go too in-depth into why that is, but I would just say once I accepted myself for who I am, I strongly believe that in a short period of time, or just in a few years, my friends could prove that, like, or not prove that, but they have seen that I evolved into a person that is more confident in who I am, that talks more subtly, more glow in ourselves, in myself. And there's a couple things I would tell myself as a younger, to my younger self. And there's just a couple lessons that I learned throughout these few years of self-discovery, self-acceptance, and also just constantly reminding myself why I feel like living is so worthy, why being alive to me is so meaningful. To me, back in, like, I feel like a few years ago, when I was still in first year, when I, you should go back to the first episode. That episode is when I was a few months after I lost a very dear friend of mine. And from that point after that incident of losing a very dear friend of mine, I view life in a total, completely different angle. I blamed the world a lot when I was younger. I had so much anger towards what happened to me as a child, or had so much anger to the world because I felt like the world just has so much problems, so much structure, so much rules, so much restriction. And I couldn't free myself from that aspect or that perspective because I felt like the world is only black and white. There isn't anything gray. There isn't any color in it. And I wasn't able to see that I could just accept the person that I am and give myself grace and a lot of love to myself. And I was so harsh to myself to a point where I found that life wasn't worth living. I found that life wasn't meaningful because I couldn't experience the most important thing I think life is all about. It's all about spreading love, accepting love, and loving. I think love is a very powerful thing, and I felt like that part of me wasn't able to transfer to someone else or to shine through this world. And I was restricted in a box that I felt like I couldn't breathe. And because of that, I don't see the meaning of it. I just don't see it. And then once I accepted that part of me, be like, yes, you can try. You can try accepting yourself. And then I got more comfortable in being myself and accepting this part of me that was no longer restricted with these rules or restricted with just black and white. The world isn't black and white. There is so much color, so much gradient, so much variety. And I don't think, personally, I don't think any of this is wrong as long as you're not harming people. And so life became meaningful after I accepted myself, and also through that experience of losing this dear friend. I treasure people around me. I treasure every single day that I was able to breathe. I treasure every second that I get to see the sky. And it is all these tiny things or simple pleasure that I get to experience every day. I would just get a coffee and I would be so happy that I get to taste this coffee, that I get to read a book under the sun and feel that warmth shine through my skin. These are experiences that only being alive, you could experience them. And I just learned to be grateful. I think gratitude is a huge part in appreciating life. Even as just very little, having your family as one of your biggest supporter in life, or having a friend that really treasures you and treat you decently, lovingly, and unconditionally. Having a pet dog, maybe, that gives you so much joy. Their innocent and kind and loyalty is the greatest thing in the world to me. And I find just these little things that I get to appreciate every day makes me feel like living is so worthy. Living is so meaningful. And the meaningful part also comes from the fact that I have a goal in life. Maybe you currently am just trying to navigate your life and you don't really know what your goal is to be or what person you want to be. But I have a really simple thing in mind, is like, I don't look up to anyone else. I don't compare myself to anyone else because it's hard to compare. And I know for default, like humans, we love to compare ourselves to someone that's more successful, or successful in the general term, in the society way. But to me right now, when I think about the word successful, is no longer applied with money, with power, with all that. At the end of the day, we all die. And when we die, nothing else matters. Your money doesn't matter. Your fame doesn't matter. Even you're as famous as Michael Jackson, or as famous as the top singer right now, Taylor Swift, you are going to be in the history, right? But I think how people view about you or feel the connection with you is more important than anything in the world. You can be a great example to a lot of people, be a role model to people, be a person that inspires people, that are very kind to people that you care about, and loving to your children, your family, your friends. I think these are memories and feelings that actually transcends more than time, that lives in someone's brain. And that core memory of whatever that you deliver is so meaningful. It could impact someone's life. As I mentioned, I lost a dear friend of me. I have viewed this person highly in my life. And I think that losing someone made me realize how important it is to hold on to my dream. This is a personal impact. And I am heavily carried on with this vision, and this goal in my mind is, no matter how hard life is, that sometimes we struggle with, and we sometimes would be, we'll be confused, we'll be exhausted, we'll lose hope, but I hold on to the idea, which is to the core, is all about hope, is that I'm going to work for it. I'm going to pay my 100% until I can't try anymore. I think it is very true that the only failure is not trying. And there is one quote that I always remember, is that giving up is harder than continue doing it. Because I felt like if you have continued doing something for so long, or you have been in a relationship for so long, it is very hard to suddenly just give up on someone, and is always easier, or like if you were in a toxic relationship, it is always easier to continue that relationship than getting out of it. I'm talking about not just romantic wise, it's also like friendship or any other relationship. And I would also say that the biggest rejection is not asking. A lot of the times we wonder if we get more opportunity. For example, I'm currently in a job search and I constantly look for jobs. But if I don't ask for the position that I have right now, I don't think I ever got this position. Like, I would never be able to work in the place that I'm working in right now, or get to the point that I am in right now. And I think fear of rejection is so common. I used to be someone that is so, so scared of being rejected by people, because for a long time, I've lived in a perspective where I was the person that got rejected all the time. And I think I told you guys before, I was bullied when I was younger, and that memory really were kind of traumatic to me. And I get triggered by things easily when people say no to me. But then I learned in life, it's like, sometimes saying no to you is not personal. Maybe a boss doesn't want to hire you, it's not personal. They may be find you very qualified or even overqualified, but they still don't hire you. It's not necessary because you're not enough or you're not good enough. It is just maybe sometimes they look for something else and it's their preference. Same goes to relationship. Sometimes when we say, I'm so scared if I ask this person out, I'm so scared if I tell this person how I feel. But deep down is really like your fear of rejection, because sometimes we take it too personally. And I think it's harder to say it to someone that's younger, because I felt like when we were 16 or when we were 15, 14, people take rejection so personally, because I'm not beautiful enough, because I am not interesting enough, because I'm not attractive enough. These are the things that we tell ourselves, that are because I'm not that, therefore I am not enough. And that's not true. That is just not true. Everybody is unique. Everybody is beautiful. I think everybody in their heart, they can be a very kind, loving, and genuine person. And it's just that because we fear of rejection, we subconsciously tell ourselves that no matter what I do, there will be the worst case scenario, and I fear that worst case scenario is going to happen. But that's the thing. If you don't ever ask, how would you know? If you don't take a leap of faith or a risk, honestly. If you don't take risk, how are you going to make anything happen? It's the same theory of investing. Sometimes people are like, okay, I'm just going to not put in any money to any stock, any index funds or anything because it's too risky. I'm just going to put in my account and not think about it. It's a good strategy. But think about compound interest, how powerful that could be. I don't know. Anyways, this is kind of sideways. But I just want to say that it's okay to get rejected. And I learned that through life is there is the universal rejection. When one door closes, some doors open. And it's as cliche as it sounds like, it's all about the perspective and all about how we think about it. It's literally how it is. I didn't believe what we are is what we attract before. But now that I grew older and I have more life experience, I tend to see that as true. I see that as true because I grew into a person that I learned how to set boundaries. I learned that self-love comes from accepting myself. And loving is not coming from someone else, but also comes from yourself. I learned that confidence is within and you can't get it from someone else. Same as loving or love itself. It is great to have someone with you, but it is not having a relationship to fix your problems. And I think I've grown into a person where I found that having boundaries, having standard is something I prioritize. And thus, it just raised the bar. And sometimes we don't find people that easily because of that. But that's okay. And I also learned that love is an effect of commitment. Because in some ways, I would say love is unconditional. And people say that often. They say your parents should love you unconditionally. But you know, in reality, some family doesn't do that. And some parents doesn't do that. They might have their kids, but they never give them attention, never give them the love they deserve. And that is because they didn't put an effort to it. And love is a commitment because we would say, oh, I just expect my family to love me or my own people that have been in my life for a long time would love me unconditionally. No, they don't because they choose to love you. And in some ways, choosing to love you is a condition. So it's technically, I would say, unconditionally loving you is not unconditionally. It's conditionally unconditionally loving you, if that makes sense. I mean, sometimes we also need to say no. And as I just mentioned, rejection is not personal. Maybe someone has different preferences and they say no. Don't take it personally. Don't think like because you're not good enough, that's why people say no to you. I mean, it's okay, people say no. And you also need to learn how to say no. I was a person that always say yes to people because I want to be a part of, I want to be easygoing. I just want to be a people pleaser in some way. Although people pleaser might be a bit negative. I just want to make people's life easy. And I want to be a person that's easygoing, if that makes sense. But sometimes we need to understand our own limits and not saying yes to everything that is given to our lives. There might be opportunities that comes to us and you're like, I have to take this or else I'm going to miss this. But at the same time, if you have taken so much as on a plate and then you can't digest it and then you can't process it, you just overwhelm yourself, you overwork yourself, and then maybe once you overworked yourself, you become exhausted, you lose motivation, and it's just a cycle of not really motivating, and I don't think that's any good to anyone. At least that's not very good to your mental health, because you don't want to be burnt out. And so, yeah. The next thing is, be comfortable in failure. It's often that I fear a lot of failure. I think since I was young, I have very high expectation of what I want to be. The first time that I really experienced a huge failure was one of my English tests. It was a grammar test, a spelling test that I didn't get 100. And I was so sad that day because I felt like I should get 100. Why didn't I get 100? I used to get 100 prior to that one failure. I got all hundreds, right? And at that one time that I didn't get 100, I got a 90. And I just felt like I was a failure. But it's okay. And then the more that you get to the stage of learning, growing, and failing, the cycle of life and the cycle of just getting up again, move forward, learn from it, don't do the same mistake. That's how you grow. That's how you become a better person. I'm not saying that as a teenager or anyone that's younger than me or even the same age as me or even older than me can't have mistakes. We all make mistakes. And we need to be gentle to ourselves. I think the most gentle person we need to be is to ourselves. We need to be able to forgive for our own mistakes and really just give ourselves space and time to heal, to process, to learn from it, and to grow from it. The most important thing to me as a person is being able to learn, understand, and grow. I believe everyone has the potential of growing and changing. I believe everyone can change. And I believe in second chances, or even more than second chances. And I don't believe that people can't, because I feel like it's an attitude that you choose to change or not. If you're willing to be a better person for your friends, your family, your partner, I believe in you. And I believe everybody can do that. At least for me personally, in these few years, I have targeted I made a goal to myself, I made a promise to myself, is every single day, I want to be a better person. And I look up to the person that is my idol currently, is myself in 10 years, or myself in the future. I hope that person is a genuine, kind, and loving person that cares about the world, that cares about people that are surrounding me, and give in all the love that people deserve, and also have so much love to myself. I want to be a person that is influential to people in a positive way, and I want to be a confident person that I can be also a role model for some people that are struggling the same struggles that I did before. There is one thing that is very true, is that often we grow into a version that we want when we were younger. And I think that is just the person that I want to be. Somebody that I can't look up to, like that I wanted to look up to when I was younger, but that wasn't a role model for me. So I want to be that version for myself. I don't know if that's selfish, but I think someone that could encourage my younger self would be impactful, could do so much good. And so a few things is, change is never too late. I think change is never too late because I was once very homophobic. I was once very transphobic. And yes, I grew into a generation where, you know, Gen Z, that's what you say, right? Gen Z or Gen Gamma, I don't know what gen we are on right now. We have more information through the internet. We understand more. And people before us, they built a community where being transgender, being homosexual is more accepting, is more inclusive. The culture is more accepting to these degree. Not saying that every single part in this world accept this, but I'm just saying it's more accepting. And it has to be because of people before us. Huge props to these queer community, the drag queens, drag kings, transgender people, gay people, lesbians, all queer people that did all this work for us. And I believe that people can change, because I was growing up in a very conservative Christian household. And for a long time, actually, like, for a long time, even I made the podcast, like, I was going through a lot of things between myself and my family. My family has this strong belief of Christianity, but they grow up in a very conservative way. And so having a trans and queer child to them is a very hard and just really, really hard thing to accept. For a long time, they didn't accept the person that I was, and I wasn't even good at communicating. And thus, like, there were so many walls, barriers between us, and I didn't like communicating or opening up my feelings to them. I didn't feel safe talking about it or feel accepted as a person. And I was a huge critic of myself. I have very low self-love to myself. And in terms of that, I felt like once I had a good relationship with myself, I was able to talk about my feelings, and I went through therapy and I was able to communicate better. And I learned that my parents were the least people that I thought they could change, but they were able to change. They are accepting and loving. And I thought that my relationship with my parents would never grow into a point where I can share anything to them and treat them like friends. But in fact, it could happen. Just a little bit of more communication, more openness into both parties, it could work out. Things can change. People can change to be more accepting. People can change to know you better, to understand you, and then accept you. Now I feel accepted and I feel loved by both of my parents. I feel like it is really amazing to see this change in people, or even just the change in me that I was able to like communicate in such a way. The last thing is just gonna be a key to any single relationship is honesty, trust, communication, and commitment. I personally am not a fan of the more than dating culture, which is, you know, getting on multiple dates with multiple people, talking to multiple people at the same time, and see what options are there, and like, you know, doing all that. Good for people that could do it, but personally, it's not my cup of tea. And when it comes to relationship, often I hear through the internet or just through people, that is, people end up in a situationship or they just end up not finding a person that aligns to their values. Which the second part is fine, I think. But the first part of not ending up in a relationship properly and end up in the situationship, it happens because a lot of people won't commit. But also, in every single relationship, no matter what it is, communication, honesty, and trust, it has to be built. Without honesty, you can't be trusted, right? And without communication, you can't earn honesty. And all of this is very essential to flourish a good relationship. A relationship that can maintain for years, that a long-term relationship, a long-term friendship, or anything in between. I think communication is the key to resolving a lot of problems. Maybe you like texting, but here's the thing about texting is, like, first off, it doesn't deliver the tone, the intonation, your actual feelings through text. And people interpret text differently. How do people actually know how you feel? And second of all, voicemail. You know what micro emotions are? It's written only on your face, and it can only be read by people looking at you directly. Some people might guess, oh my god, is that person like even into me or not? Like, I don't know. Through just one voicemail, I won't know. And I can't tell you if that is gonna be that. Or is that friend mad at me because of this text? You won't know. And there's one thing really interesting is when people start thinking about like potential really disastrous consequences or through a text like that, without doing anything like particularly problematic, and then they would go a fire, flight, or flight mode, is often that something triggered you to project your insecurities. As harsh as it could sound like, yes, people project, and we project a lot of our insecurities in different situations. And one more interesting thing is, before I go, is that love actually amplifies. I used to think like, oh, relationship is just something that would just make me feel whole, make me feel loved, and that's all I need. Because I have none for myself then. Not like none, but very little. And then looking forward for people to fulfill that would be everything I think of. But I didn't realize that is a lot of my insecurities or things I need to work on were triggered through all these relationships. And yes, love sometimes is not all just daylight. Sometimes it's stormy. Sometimes you need to work things out and you need to put in effort, put in the time, and communicate with the other party. Or else nothing is going to flourish. Nothing is going to be resolved. And you're going to stuck in a freaking spiral of guessing. I personally hate guessing games. I hate playing games. I love communicating. And I think through years of just, I don't know, not years, but a few years of learning how to talk properly and communicate properly, I find life is more enjoyable. There is less of a friction between people. And I was able to build a better relationship with people. And yeah, I don't know where this went, but I hope you enjoyed this episode of me just talking about what I would want my younger self to know. And hopefully there are some things that you can get take away from. At last, it's going to be, if you're worrying about your future, just know that it is best to live in the present. And if you feel like you're behind of life, if you feel like you're a late bloomer, understand that everyone is unique and you don't need to compare your own timeline to people. Everybody has to learn their lessons in their own pace. Like, you might think like currently what I'm saying is too cliche, too old for you, or I'm still very young and like I didn't know much about life. I'm constantly learning and I still think that I don't know much, but from what I know at my circumstances right now is that even if I worry too much, I would never guarantee that I have that certain vision in my future. And what I can do is to focus in the present and only take one step at a time and do my best and be the best version I can every single day. Having the mindset of like, I can change. I have the power to choose. I have the control of my life. I'm not insane in thinking like I'm worried. It's okay to worry. I think it's normal to worry. It's also normal to have expectations to yourself, but is to know where to set that good expectation, some expectation that is achievable and challenging, but not too hard. Be gentle to yourself. Have mercy to yourself. Maybe in a few years you look back as like, oh my God, why did I do that dumb shit? Or why did I do that to that person and ruin something that is precious? Or why did I blame so much on people and weren't able to forgive? It is okay. It is okay. Why didn't I do something to make up for it, to solve that problem, and that wouldn't happen? These are the questions I asked myself a lot when I was younger, just a few years ago. And I think I just learned that to be merciful to myself, to know that we're not perfect, and I have the ability to be able to learn from it, to grow from it, and to change. And that's it. Thank you for listening, and I hope to see you next episode.